Praise the Lord. So good to be here. You can be turning to Mark chapter 2. We'll be reading. So many storms that I can remember going through. And even in my short years, I know many of you, you think of storms, and they might have been great storms, small storms. But the storms I have are personal to me because they're mine. Amen. But I thank God that though I have a storm, amen, I have a storm calmer that walks beside me. And even though he may not calm the storm, he can calm me in the midst of it. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. He's been my rock and my help. And without him, I would never have made it or even come close to making it. It's all to him. It's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 2. Verse number 1, thank you again for your support for the ministry. We had a picnic last Saturday and just had a great outcoming of all the kids. And some of you helped us and we had a great time. And the ministry continues to grow. We have many needs, many things that we need, but the Lord continues to provide. And we're just thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord there. And anyway, Mark chapter 2, verse number 1, and it said, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was certain..." Actually, we'll skip on down to verse number 10. Goes on to say there, continue to say, "But that ye may know that the Son of God has power on earth to forgive sin, which he saith to the sick of the palsy." Verse number 11, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I thank you for the sacred responsibility that you've given me, Lord. I pray that you would help me. Lord, whatever storms we're going in, whatever has lamed us, whatever has defamed us, Lord, I pray that we would come to you, Lord, and that we would find you there, Lord, able to help us. Lord, move upon me, your spokesman here, Lord, in this particular time. And we'll give you all the praise and glory, Lord. Help us around these altars, and we'll give you thanks for it. And the church said, amen. You may be seated if you like. I love this passage of Scripture. One of my favorite, showing the faith of the believers, showing the power of our Savior, and showing the forgiveness that we can all obtain, the redemption of a man, and what it took to get him to that point. Here we read about in the chapter 2 that the word began to spread in verse 1, that Jesus was in the house, that he was in the location. Amen. And I no doubt... many times in our own people, maybe you heard of revivals. I hear of a great move of God they're having over here or in that church or in that country. And it does my heart good as well as yours, no doubt, to hear that God is moving, that God is on the move, that God is still blessing his church, that God still has a spirit that moves, that heals, that reaches, that feels, that delivers, that takes away the desires of the world and replaces it with the desires for him. And here we read is no doubt he was preaching like many times before, meeting the needs of the people, and the whole brokenhearted were becoming to find rest and hope. He was preaching from the words of his Father, and it got out. Word began to spread that, hey, there's somebody here that teaches different. There's something about this man, Jesus, that nobody spake like him. Nobody teaches like him. Nobody can have such authority as this man. And no doubt the house began to fill up. I've been reading a little bit lately. Some that my wife got some books from her family that they'd given her, and preaching books. I love preaching books, and I've read about these men, but I've never really studied their history and really in depth study. And I've been reading about the George Whitefield and the great man that he was, how that he was used of God, and how that the churches a lot of times would close their doors to him, say, "You can't preach here without a permit, and we're not giving you one, and you have no authority here." So what did he do? He didn't stop preaching. He went to the fields. He went to the public places. He preached on staircases. He preached out of windows into court areas and squares and all these different places. No doubt they said that you could hear his voice over a mile away, that God had blessed him with a certain ability. And it said that churches that were empty, he said he would go into villages and places that hardly seemed to be anybody there, but they would come by the thousands out of the woodwork to hear him. They'd come by the droves. 20, 30,000 was not uncommon at his meetings. Why? Because God had anointed a man of God that had the goods. He had the power. People would be laid out in the spirit. They said that sometimes the wailings and the awful cries you would hear through the night would be throughout the whole countryside as people would begin to fall under the power of God, and they're agonizing over their condition of sin and revival. The second great awakening that rolled through America, rolled through Great Britain, through Scotland, and all these different places. Why? Because there was a fire. There was an anointing. Then it began to spread aloud. Hey, there's a move of God. Hey, we need to get where the move of God is. Listen to me, church. There is a move of the Holy Ghost that is coming, that is moving, and we need to find out. Amen. We need to get it here. Amen. We just need to get Jesus in the house. Amen. I appreciate programs, and I love them. Trust me. I love singing. I love all these different things that we may do, but there is no substitute for the power of an almighty God that would saturate a place and a church that will begin to move us toward worship, move us towards prayer, move us to start moving towards him. Oh, that we could get Jesus in the house. Because when Jesus is in the house is packed. Amen. Not just with people, but with him. Amen. Amen. I've been in so many places before. Thank God for the move of the Holy Ghost. Felt like you could cut it with a knife. Amen. Oh, not so long ago, this place, revival, we had a youth rally. And I tell you what, if it's not one of the best, if the best, it is one of them. Amen. It felt like God just came in and just poured it out on us. Amen. Oh, thank God for it. It did my spirit good. Amen. To shout and to feel the presence of God as he began to move in our midst. Oh, we need to keep that. We need to do everything within our means to hold on to it. Don't let it get away. Don't let it grow cold. Don't let it be forgotten. Oh, listen, church. We've got to get back to the move of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I appreciate, amen, when the building is full. Amen. Day of Pentecost, the building was full. Amen. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire. What a move of God. Amen. The presence of the Lord in a church will change a nation, will change a church. Amen. I can remember studying about another man, Brother Seymour, down in L.A., and how that over there in a place called Azusa Street, that he began to study and to preach and to pray. He began to look at the scripture and realize that there was something missing in his own life, something he'd never experienced, something he didn't know exactly about. But he began to preach from Acts chapter 2 about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and he preached, a lot of the people looked at him as weird. Nobody, they asked him, "How come you preaching about something you've never experienced? Ain't that contrary to the way you believe?" And he just preached on because it was the word of God, and eventually revival came. Amen. Such a move of the Holy Ghost, modern Pentecost. Pentecostalism was born into what we know today, all because something happened in a place with mankind. Mankind got into a place where Jesus was. He was in the house, and it changed everybody sitting. Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. In your own life. Amen. You've been in a place where you've been without. You've been hurt. You've been without God, and you've been away from him. But you got him in the house. Hallelujah. And he began to change things. He began to push out some things because there was was no room for them. He began to get rid of some things in your own life because suddenly you didn't have an appetite for them. Oh, listen to me. If you'll get Jesus in the house, all them things that have bothered you, all them things that have plagued you, all them things that have lamed you, he'll push them out. He'll take care of them. Just get Jesus. Amen. You may have a problem. I've got to answer. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe in his power. Amen. We got to make room for him. We've got to get him in the house. We've got to get him here. Hallelujah. He'll take care of all the rest. Amen. Jesus said in one place to John, he said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So get the word out. Let the world know. Amen. We've got, amen, a man named Jesus. Amen. All come and see what he can do. All come and see the testimonies of the lives changed. Come and see. Amen. We're not just another church. We're just not another building in Brooks that has a name church on it. Amen. We can get Jesus in a place. We become so much more. We become a place that's not just a social gathering, a place to find a seven-point program, a step program, but we've come with the answer. Amen. Oh, listen, the world will come to see what's on fire as long as we get on fire. The world will say, "I see something glowing in the distance. I hear about a flame." Amen. I've got to go see it for myself, like Abraham, like Moses in the desert. He's turned away in the desert. He said, "I must go and see this sight." Amen. All the world will want to know what's going on here at Calvary Holiness if we will only get a flame, catch a fire, and allow God to move in our lives. Hallelujah. I'm feeling about like preaching. Hallelujah. Oh, we got to get to where Jesus is. We got to get in the house. No doubt this man had heard the news. He watched as other people went to the house. I don't know if it was, the Bible doesn't say, was it how far away was it? It could have been next door. It could have been miles away. I don't know exactly how far this man was, or I don't know anybody that does. If you do, I'd like to know. But this man, he was lame. He heard the news, but he had a problem. He could not get physically to where Jesus was. No doubt spiritually he could have, but he didn't know that. Amen. And so he had a problem. Amen. He wanted to go, no doubt. I don't know if he said it to somebody. I don't know what happened, but somehow another, four men understood their friend's problem. They realized that their friend was lame, that there was somebody that could help him, but he needed to get to where he was. Oh, listen to me. Many times you may know people, amen, out in the community. They would like to come to revival. They would like to come to where Jesus is. They'd like to be delivered. They would like to be helped, but somehow there is something within them that they cannot get to where Jesus is. They have a great problem. They have a great, but we have as a church a great responsibility. It may take more than you to get them there. It may take you grabbing another brother and grabbing another one and grabbing four until you've got enough, but we need to do what is possible to get the lame to the master. Hallelujah. We need to do what is possible to get to where Jesus is with somebody. It's not good enough for me to be saved. It's not good enough for my family to be saved. But there is a lost and dying world. There's people outside the gates of the city that need to be brought into this place of refuge. Oh, that we would find them. Oh, that we would help them. And we would take them upon our own back at our own strength, our own cost, and bring them to church. Bring them to the house. Amen. And do whatever it is to put them in a place where they can have contact with Jesus. I heard a report. I mean, sometimes people don't want to be saved. I heard a report of a helicopter pilot in the National Guard. He said in this report that during Hurricane Katrina, that they were commissioned, him and three other choppers, four total, were commissioned to go out and to search and rescue, just travel about and try to, as they find people on rooftops, they would pick them up and take them to safety. He said in their first four sorties or flights, he said they picked up 83 people and one dog and two cats. And he said, we thought we were doing pretty good. He said, after that, though, we noticed a steady decline in the amount of people. That he said, we'd find them, we'd get to them, and they'd say, "No, leave us alone. We're okay. Just bring us some food, bring us some water. We'll stay right here on our roof." They refused to be rescued. It breaks my heart, people that are lame, people that are obviously need God, that won't want to come. Oh, but if we could get them to know the love of a Savior, if we could show it with our daily devotion, or when we're at work with them at school, or rubbing shoulders at whatever we come in contact with them, oh, we could show them their need for a Savior in a loving way, amen, and we could get them, amen, to a place where Jesus could take the brokenness of their lives and put it back together. Amen. Ain't that what the commission is about? Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel to every creature. Oh, if we could realize the great commission, compel them to come. You see, but it wasn't convenient to get this man to Jesus. Place was packed out. Couldn't get in a window. Couldn't get down the chimney. Couldn't get through the door. Only one wet thing to do, boys. I tell you what, that might have been a mess. I don't know about you, I've never taken a roof off a house. I've done a lot of things. About to take mine off this year, though, anyway. But tearing a roof off, I don't know what kind of roof material they had. I would guess it would be thatch. You know, just hay or something. And I've seen what that can make a mess. How would you like to be the homeowner? Just got a new roof on your house. You got a big, nice place. Obviously, I would think that, you know, because Jesus was coming, you know, a great man, this famous person, and maybe that person was the biggest house in the village, the most richest man, I don't know. I like to use my imagination. He had a big meeting room. And he's sitting there admiring the crowd, thinking of all the great things. And suddenly, you see something come through the roof. Dust falls. What in the world is going on? What are they doing? About that time, another one. Then something pulls out apart. And you see sunlight come through and a head peeps through. Could you imagine being the preacher, Jesus? Of course, he knew what was happening. He knew they were coming. Amen. I believe he just kept on preaching. Amen. He knew it. I believe he did it. He waited. He could have walked outside, said just a minute. Walked outside, healed that person, came right back in. But I believe he wanted them, for their benefit, to put forth an effort. Amen. Because you see, there's something about being the four men that brought this man to Jesus. And here they are, you know, no doubt. I don't know if they were rich or not. They're going to have to replace a roof. And here they are, tearing the roof off. You know, there's something about helping somebody find Jesus. Have you ever done it? Would you like to do it again? Oh, I tell you what, in my soul, when you pray somebody through to Jesus, amen, when you bring somebody to church, or you see tears at an altar, and not to put a feather in your hat, not to bring glory to yourself, but just that joy of being able to minister to somebody and see them finally, the light come on, amen, the glory come down, and suddenly they're filled with what you've been filled with, and they've got it too. They're rejoicing, you're rejoicing. There's something inside that helps you all the more. Oh, I'm glad they get help. I'm so glad they get what they need. But oh, this little boy, when I can lead somebody to the master, oh, it makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. It's not about preaching a good sermon, because I would never make it. It's not about singing a great song. It's not about putting on a good program. It's about leading them to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's about getting them to where they can get the help they need. Oh, if we would realize that there is a blessing that we cheat ourselves out of every time we refuse to lift up our hands and to take what is necessary and do the necessary job to bring them to Jesus. I don't know how many other people needed to be brought to Jesus, but there must have been many in the city, I believe, that said, you know, I'm lame. I don't have nobody to take me. I guess I won't go. You know, in the Bible it says, for lack of vision, the people perish. I don't want to be that way. Amen. I want to take the obstacles out of my way, and I want to bring them to Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad somebody, amen, told me about Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad I decided at 5 years old in a revival meeting over in Illinois somewhere in the cornfields there. It was flat as could be. Been snowing for days and no doubt wasn't good weather to be traveling in. But my dad had some kind of friend that was an evangelist that was traveling with three boys in a camper. And they were preaching around the country in about every revival. I don't care if it was 5 hours away. It seemed like we ended up going to it. And I liked Tim, his youngest son, and we were good buddies. And I remember that night I going up there, I said, Timothy's my best friend. My dad kind of said, oh, really? Why isn't this one your best friend? I said, well, because he's saved. And I was 5 years old. I don't know what I was thinking. That's what I said. And Dad said, well, Jonathan, are you saved? And I said, no, I'm not, Dad. And that night, God saved me along with my sister, amen, because somebody decided to tell me about Jesus. In my heart, I needed, amen, to be saved, amen. Aren't you glad, amen, that God saves them at 5? My father was 17. My grandpa was older up in age. Listen, it don't matter who you are, what you are. If you're lame today, amen, you can find help at the master's hand. You can find, we got to get to the house. We got to get the barriers out. We've got to do what is necessary. It's not just enough to come to church, but let's be the church. Let's go out from this place and let's do what God has called us to do. Oh, listen, it may not fit your lifestyle. It may make you late every once in a while. Listen, but God wants us to be busy, amen, about the master's business outside these four walls, in the community, in the workplace. Our country needs it. Our county needs it. Our places of work needs it. Oh, that God would begin to stir us and to help us to find Him more in our lives. Something I want you to notice, though, here, I'm about done. Before Jesus healed him, he said in verse 5, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We got to get some things taken care of before we can help the world, before we can heal the hurting. Before we can do, and that's I appreciate all these programs outside of church and social things. I do. I believe they're doing all right. And some churches, they've got great programs to help the sick, help the hungry, help the starving. That's great. I'm wonderful. First things first, Jesus looked at the sin before he looked at his crippled legs. Oh, listen, church, we can't move in God. We can try to hide it. We can try to say, well, let's focus on other things. No, there's something that we must focus on as individuals, as a church, as families. We must take care of whatever besets us or what might be caused in us to sin. Amen. If we take care of the sin in our own lives, amen. Jesus, that's the thing about God. You start getting close to Jesus, start seeking Him. That's the first thing. You notice anybody that comes in contact with Jesus, they see the holiness of Christ. They see the sinfulness of themselves. Amen. Peter, the first time he met the Savior, he said, woe is me, a sinner. We look in Isaiah there that they saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, I'm a sinner. Stay away from me. He said, my mouth, I'm an unclean Lord. And he said, I live among a people of unclean lips. Oh, but God even saw the sin. He said, He didn't leave him there, but he said, I know who you are. I know what you've done. Let me take a coal from the altar, anoint your lips with, and you can once again be clean. Oh, we can take the holiness of God upon ourselves. We can get rid of the sin, and then we can heal the world. Hallelujah. A lot of times, though, people want to reach out to a dying and lost world before they've taken care of things. They've only pushed them aside. Oh, but God, would you open the door of my heart, and would you look forth with your light and your holiness and see the sin, take it out. Amen. Take that which might hold me down, that which the enemy may use against me. Oh, we must take care of that which is within us before we can reach out and heal the sick. The thing that separated this man from Jesus wasn't just his physical condition, but it was his spiritual condition. A lot of times, we got to get them to the altar before they can find the rest of the help. Oh, but once they've come up from the altar, amen, there's work we can do. Amen. Help them. Amen. I believe it. Amen. We can start the healing process. Amen. One person once said, if you were asked Jesus today, the one reason for his coming to earth, he would sum it up, his entire ministry, in one statement. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He could have went to heaven with broken legs, but he could have never went to a clean, holiness heaven without, amen, a clean heart. Oh, listen, we can clean them up. We can help them get off alcohol. We can get them off drugs. But until they've got a spirit of God that is cleansing the inside, all we've done is cleaned an outside of the vessel with the inside still unclean. Oh, but God does the work on the inside. He washes it clean. He takes it, and from the inside out, he begins to purify. He begins to help them and to make them into the image. All we got to do is get them to Jesus. Amen. All we got to do is get them to the throne of God and allow God to clean them. Amen. I thank God that I found the throne at 5 years old and God took away, amen, all the path of sin that the devil had already prescribed my GPS to follow. Amen. But God took me on a different path. God changed my life. God took away the sin, took away the things inside. Amen. And the world's going to look around once they see this happen to somebody. They're going to scratch their head and say, never seen it on this fashion before. I've seen them get off of it on this program. I've seen them take AA and whatever. I've seen them do all these different programs. I've never seen somebody just quit it cold turkey, get up from an altar and have the victory. Oh, listen to me. There is something called the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is the best program, the best means for anything. It is a one cure, one stop, one step program. Get to the altar. Amen. God will do the rest. Hallelujah. And my wife comes to the piano. Amen. We never seen it on this fashion before. Amen. Sister Christy comes. Amen. Many people come to Jesus different reasons. But the idea is that they get to him. I went to church at 5 years old because my parents took me, not because I really wanted to go. Some of you may have went for a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Some of you all might have went out of guilt or something your parents taught you. It doesn't matter why you came. It matters now what you do with it. I would like to get Jesus in this place so much that the world would come to see what was going on. Oh, to see the power of God move, people healed, people's lives changed. Do we believe it? Oh, God. Do we seek after it? Do I seek after it? Before I can point it at you, I've got to point it at me. Amen. He's in the house. Amen. He's here today. Amen. It may not be convenient for your lifestyle, but I would pray that you'd get to a place where it would be. Amen. To be one of the four that bore this man, bore his burdens. You ever tried to pick up somebody that was just dead weight? It's not easy to take them 10, 20 feet. I don't know how far they came. I'd say it was maybe a mile, maybe two. I don't know. I'm guessing. No doubt getting him on a roof, though. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. A lot of times you may look and say, well, I don't know how we're going to get that person to Jesus. I don't even know if I could do it by myself. Well, you've got brothers, you've got sisters. I'll roll up my sleeves. I'll help you. If I can, amen. I tell you, that's what the church body is about, amen. It's not just crowding in around the door, amen, and keeping the world out, amen. It's about making room for him where Jesus is. Hallelujah. No doubt these people we read about in the same passage, I skipped over it, about read it here in verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned their heart, why does this man speak blasphemies? They weren't there to see Jesus. They were there to see a show. They were there to accuse him. They weren't there to help nobody. Oh, God. I don't want to be one of them, do you? I don't want to be one that just kept them out. I want to be one of those that said, I don't care who's there. I don't care who's in my way. This man needs help. Amen. This is an emergency. This is a 911 situation. Amen. This man, that's the man that can help him. This man that needs it. We're going to get him there if we have to do whatever. We got to tear the whole house down. If I got to raise a roof off this place, if I've got to do whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I'm getting them to Jesus. Amen. Oh, give us a mentality, a church destroying, church building mentality. Amen. Tear this roof off. Tear these walls down, but build your kingdom, Jesus. Amen. Do whatever it takes to me. Break my body. Break my heart. Amen. But allow me to build your kingdom. Allow your work to go forth despite me, despite the organization. God, I want to be used by you. It's not about our gathering. It's not about me. Amen. The work must be go on. The work must go on. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. I don't know where you're at in life exactly, but Jesus does. I don't know if you're the lame man that needs somebody to bring you to Jesus. I don't know if you're one of the people in the village that, one of the four. Maybe you've been, hopefully not anybody here, one of the scribes that speaking against the work that's just there to see a show. But whoever you are, God wants to reach you. He wants to get in the house, this house. He wants to take out all the things that would be inconvenient to you, all the things that would cause you to not do His work, all the things that would blur your vision, to not see the lame, all the things that would keep you from helping the lame, all the things that would cause you to not be in unity. Listen, there's a great work for us to do outside this house. I know they don't want to come. I know some of them can't come. But God, give me the spirit. Give me the ability to reach out, whether it's little ones or old ones. I don't care. Amen. They're all valued in God's eyes. We've got a responsibility, church. He's in the house. Let's get him here. Amen. Let's find a place to pray tonight as we begin to pray. Amen. Let's seek the Lord. Amen. I don't know what you're going through, but I do believe God does, and He is able to help you.